Assalamu alaikum and thank you for logging on to the Farrakhan Speaks podcast. This edition is taken from The Call to Faith and Struggle, delivered November 23rd, 2008 in New Orleans, Louisiana.
If side angle side of condition A is parallel by side angle side of condition B, then solution to problems are already laid out. But the problem with us has always been like it was with the children of Israel. We never have wanted to leave the enemy and do something for ourselves. We don't want to let him go.
No, we don't.
He has already let us go. But he's not giving us a good send-off. You know how when you get in a bad relationship and the husband and wife have let each other go? And they in separate bedrooms, but they haven't gone nowhere and continue to vex each other. You know how that is, some of us. He don't have nothing for us to do. Now let's deal with reality today. In spite of the euphoria, as a people, we are in worse condition than we have ever been in spite of the fact that we have a greater middle class, more millionaires, and a few billionaires. You don't judge success by the middle class.
No, you don't.
When Brother Barack started to sink in the polls, you know, the media introduced race in very subtle ways. Well, Farrakhan, get to the point.
That's all right.
Wait. Didn't you just say that God was involved in this young man becoming president? I said, yes, sir. That haven't negated one thing else that I said. Because he's president, he's managing the economy of a world that you are not a player in. So for us to have unreal expectations and put on that brother what he may never be able to deliver, and to take off of our shoulders our responsibility, would be a gross injustice to Barack Obama and to ourselves. one of the plagues that God used against Pharaoh was due to a prayer by Moses, because the children of Israel were enamored by the wealth of Pharaoh. That's why they didn't want to strike out on their own to do something for themselves. They saw all of this wealth that Pharaoh had, and they wanted a piece of it. And like Lazarus at the rich man's gate, begging for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, when the earth was there to grow wheat for him, that he could have as many loaves as he wanted, but he chose to stay at the gate begging for crumbs. So Moses prayed that God would touch the wealth of Pharaoh and destroy it. I read something a few days ago, brothers and sisters, that America is about to lose her triple A standing.
That's right.
I read that America is over $10 trillion in debt. I read that she sometimes keeps two sets of books. And there's another figure that is mind-boggling. When you put Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and other things in the budget, she's nearly $60 trillion in debt and has mortgaged the future of our children and their children way into the future. In fact, it's a debt that can't be paid. And the only thing that's holding the dollar up used to be the gross national product of the nation, but that's no longer viable. I did see that General Motors and Ford and Chrysler went to the Congress to beg. Oh, you know the Bible got it right. You know, as a man soweth, the same shall he also reap. How the enemy has worked to destroy our meager efforts for economic independence. Oh. How when Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, they knew they didn't want the slave off the land.
That's right.
So they concocted all kinds of schemes and made laws to force the slave back to the land in what is called sharecropping. And New Orleans was the economic center of the world during slavery, right on through Reconstruction. New Orleans was ground zero for the cotton and the sugar trades. And by the Civil War, 70 steamboats a week were arriving here by the Mississippi River, loaded with the products of African slave labor. Cotton was to the world economy what oil is today. It generated so much money that fortunes like those of the Rothschilds and the Lehman Brothers were built upon. Built upon our labor. Given this fact, it was clear to the former slave masters and their children that true emancipation would simply bankrupt America. If blacks had gained control over their own labor and obtained the vote, our former slave masters would have lost all of their power. I'm not overstating the case. So after slavery, we were forced into sharecropping, where small country merchants took the place of plantation owners and used debt rather than the whip to keep the black man picking the necessary cotton for the world economy. The ugly secret of America is that this is precisely where many of the multi-rich bankers obtained their extraordinary wealth and power. Yes. The great American retail institutions of the region, like Sackowitz in Houston, Gottschall in New Orleans, the Cohen brothers in Jacksonville, Riches in Atlanta, Garfinkel's in Washington, Thalheimer's and A. Rosenstock and Company and Stern Brothers in Virginia, Goldsmith in Memphis and Sangers of Texas, they all grew from cotton wealth on the backs of our slave labor and sharecropping misery. Yes, even those department stores associated with the great northern metropolises such as Neiman Marcus and Macy's and even the largest jewelry chain, Zales, originated as tiny retailers in the slavery Jim Crow South. In fact, the world's industrial revolution was financed with cotton money. So given the current collapsing of the system that slavery built, you have to, even though it's painful, listen. I'm not a hater. I don't have time to waste on hate. But factual knowledge is what we all need to press the case for justice. And you must never be afraid to find the facts, because it is the truth that Jesus said, you shall know, and the truth shall set you free. Well, now, the failure of Lehman Brothers, and it might be interesting to note that the New Orleans merchants reaped extraordinary wealth from the cotton trade, that the money trail leads to New York banks, indeed, all the way to the banking dynasties of France, Germany, England, and that all of this would have collapsed if the black people were actually, really, in truth, set free. Then the Jim Crow laws were enacted, crafted, not to keep us from drinking at white fountains or being buried in white cemeteries. No, no, no. But it was to legally force us back to the cotton fields. Dear, dear families, sharecropping, and at the end of it, the sharecropper would go to the merchant, you know, who was selling him all that he needed. And he would always find, when they were tallying, that he owed something. And they kept us on that treadmill. Right here in New Orleans. Thugs. When black folk were trying to get away, thugs would come to the ferries to run the blacks away who were trying to escape for a better life somewhere. And they tell me that even to this moment in Louisiana, there are some who are still suffering in a virtual kind of slavery. Now juxtapose that with the elevated spirit that a black man is the president, you know, of the United States. That's big. He's got to dig America out of the abyss of economic collapse.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Farrakhan Speaks podcast. To purchase today's lecture in its entirety, go to store.finalcall.com. To view the live webcast of our Sunday meetings, go to noi.org and click on the link to the weekly live webcast. And remember to log on to the website of the most widely circulated black newspaper in the country for all of your news and information, The Final Call at finalcall.com.